Father, I thank you, Lord, all your children who are here, they have got out unto you, not unto man. And Lord, you will be glorified. Hallelujah. The Lord in the midst of us today will rejoice over us with joy because he sees good things in our lives that are coming for us. Praise the Lord. As always, Lord, I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, cause it to be now for everyone that's in this room or listening later on. Let there be a lifting up in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, praise the Lord. We are living in some challenging and difficult times. And it seemed too good to the Holy Spirit that I should bring some word of encouragement today. Praise the Lord. You know, there is a phenomenon that always happens in the cycle of life, always. And nature teaches us that. We see it all the time. The woman that's about to birth, goes through a lot of things. You know, in fact, sometimes we call it birth pains. Even the scripture talks about there was a prophetic woman shown to us in Revelation chapter 12. And we saw that, you know, this woman was in danger. In fact, let's read it. Revelation 12 and 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Now, this was not a, this was not a woman that had nothing going for her. You know, I mean, she was clothed. I mean, can you imagine with the sun? She had the brightness of the sun for her clothing, you know, and she had power over the powers of darkness. The moon was under her feet, you know. The Bible says in the beginning, Genesis 1 and 14, he made two great lights. The greater one to rule the day, we call it the sun now. The lesser one to rule the night. And then he said, well, let them be for signs, all these things and so forth. And we see that the sun represents brightness of the day. The moon, of course, also represents darkness of the evil, powers of darkness. She had the powers of darkness under her feet because the Lord said, you know, unto her, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Luke 10 and 19. And she had, you know, she had power. She had anointing. She had the clothing of the sun, the brightness. And she also had upon her head crown of 12 stars. I mean, the stars were even her crown. The Lord said that the day that I make up my jewels, you will be a royal diadem in my hand. A diadem is a crown that has jewels in it. You know, so she's got all these things going for her. You know, but she's going to have her troubles. Doesn't matter how much anointing she has. Doesn't matter how much power she has. How many victories she's had, because all these crowns represent victories, you know, that she's had. You don't get a crown unless, you know, you get some kind of victory. Yeah. So, but she's going to have her trouble. In her hour of trouble, let's see what happened to her. She was with child. The Bible says she being with child, travailing in birth, and pained, she cried. You know, she being with child, cried. Travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. I'm going to talk about some of those crying today and some of that pain, you know, that she's going through. She want to be delivered of this pregnancy. You know, I guarantee you, she's going to go through some stuff before she can get that baby out of there. And then she's crying now with pain. You know, we're told. I mean, this John is trying to paint a picture here. You know, it's not a funny picture at all. I mean, she's writhing in pain and crying, paining to be delivered. And we call it birth pains, you know. Before she even got to this point, she'd gone through a lot. I mean, you women, you know this better than anybody else. And she's gone through a lot for many months. 9 months, she's carried this baby up and down. Some days, you know, she feels better than others. Some days she's sick and throwing up and all of that. Yeah, and that's just all kinds of things that she's going through. You know, her mood changes, all kinds of things happening to her. Yet, she's carrying something that's supposed to be a bundle of joy, but it's wrapped up with all kinds of misery, it seems like, at first, you know. And, you know, the story and the journey, you know, is not an easy one. And is not even something that you can look at lightly. And it's a time of distress. All that time, you know, that she's pregnant, she's distressed, all kinds of things. I'm trying to paint the picture for the men. The women already know this. But one day, she's going to bring forth that bundle of joy. But before she gets to that point, it's going to get even worse, you know. So this is what this thing is talking about. You know, the picture that she's going through, you know, this painful process. And on top of that, I mean, she has her own pain by herself. And yet, on top of that, well, let's see what else is happening around her to give her even more distress. Jesus talked about it too, but before I get to what Jesus said, let's take a closer look at, you know, this story here in this Revelation 12. There's something else that is going on here. John looks and he sees, you know, a great red dragon, you know, that was standing before her. My goodness. I mean, he called it great because, I mean, he looked terrible. It wasn't just a small dragon. And he had 7 heads, 10 horns. He also had crowns on his heads. He's got some victories. He's won out the saints and everything. And, well, and down through the ages, you know, this 7 heads, 10 horns and all of that, all down through the ages, he's been in front of this woman saying, well, you're not going to bring forth that thing, you know, and trying to prevent it. That gives her even additional stress. And he still even drew the third part of the stars of heaven. I mean, that's how great this dragon was. And he got the stars of heaven, you know. And we realize now that that's the angels, you know. Lucifer was able to get a third of them. And he's standing in front of this woman, ready to devour her child. Well, he knows can't stop that birth. If I can't stop it, well, I'm going to destroy and devour that child as soon as it's born, which gives the woman even more stress because she's not only trying to protect the pregnancy and deal with it now, She has to worry about this red dragon chasing her all over the place, right there, you know. And, well, but guess what? She did bring forth, and it was a wonderful thing. She brought forth a man-child that was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And as soon as she did, her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the dragon got nothing. Came up empty, as he always does. And Jesus talked about these birth pains to himself. In the book of John, you know, chapter 16, he said, a woman has pain and sorrow when she's going through this stuff, you know. But one day, it's all going to turn to joy. So let me read unto you from verse 20 and 21 of John 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament. Yeah, there are tears sometimes. Jesus said it. But, you know, some people in the world might be rejoicing. And you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow, Jesus said, that sorrow will not last forever. That sorrow shall be turned into joy. That heaviness will be turned into gladness. Now, and he goes on to say, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. Jesus said even this, you know, because her hour is come. Now, during that hour, I guarantee you, a lot of women, they go through a lot of stuff. Some of them say all kinds of things, which they shouldn't say. I mean, if they're women of faith, but, you know, they say all kinds of things. Go through all the stuff, but sometimes the pain is unbearable. And they're besides themselves. They don't even know what they're doing sometimes. And then, but the moment they survive that thing and they bring forth that child, oh my goodness. The moment they see that child wrap their hands around that baby, forget all of that stuff. All that pain. God, they got that bundle of joy in their arms right now. And that's what Jesus is describing here. He said, look, she remembered no more all the anguish, all the pain, all the travail, because of the joy that a man is born into the world. And she did it, you know, and she wrapped her hands upon that thing, around that thing. And my goodness, she is happy. And everybody around her too rejoices with her, you know. So I just wanted to paint you that picture, you know, as part of this lesson, but, you know, even as a lead off into the lesson. Many people are going through stuff right now, and no one is exempt, not even people in the United States, which used to be a great place. The Lord allowed many to have a taste, you know. The almost 6 weeks government shutdown, you know, was an absolute travail for many. It was a downright trouble, a time of trouble for many. And, you know, even though they are trying to move forward, it's still the effect. People are still reeling from the effect of it. Many government services, government aid, government programs, different things are shut down. You know, and it affected a lot of people. You know, and you can call it a time of travail for everybody. Well, I'm not speaking to the world really, even though we care for them and we pray that, you know, a solution will come for everybody. But I want to speak particularly to the children of God. You know, travail is defined as painful or stressful, laborious effort. You know, and some things that you go through during those times, usually There's something right behind that that's about to happen. This woman, she's about to birth something. And she's going through this stuff. And I want you to know that before that birth, there's always that travail. The lesson, the key text that I'm going to be speaking about today, even though I gave you that as a background, is actually taken from Psalm 126. And I'm going to read from verses 4 to 6. 5 and 6 especially, but 4 to 6. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Well, why did he say that? Well, he said, prophetically, even from the beginning, it's a very short psalm, you can read all of it from the beginning. When the Lord turned again captivity of his people, Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. And the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Well, prophetically, that's coming for you. See? And people around you will say, see what great things the Lord has done for them. See what great things the Lord has done for her. See what great things the Lord has done for him. Your mouth will be filled with laughter, this Bible's verses, and your tongue with singing. And people will say, they will see it. And there'll be no denying of it. God will not do it in secret. You know, because the Father that seeth you in secret is going to reward you openly. Glory to God. Now, and then he puts this prayer behind that. Now, he already seen it in the vision. The Lord already showed him and declared it prophetically that the Lord's turning that captivity. Our mouth will be filled. Then they'll do these things. But now I put a prayer behind it. See, that's the secret to everything that the Lord does. Even though the Lord has already declared something for you that it's going to be, well, you're going to have to pray that thing to be. You know, I mean, people think that, you know, just because the Lord said something, you just sit back, relax, and get it. No, not if the devil has something to do about that. And he always does. And he's going to make sure, bring up contradictions against that word of promise for you. All kinds of problems to make sure you don't get it. But you got to pray it through. So this man is praying what the Lord already showed him, the turning around of their situation, how their mouth will be filled with laughter, how their tongue will be with singing, you know, how the people around them will even see it. But now he's going to pray about it. And then he's going to declare some more. Turn again our captivity. You've done it in the past. I remember how you did it last time. You know, we were filled with joy. Do it again, Lord. As it streams in the south, you know, when the river is flowing like that, all of a sudden, sometimes it hits something and it turns in a different direction. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's the prophetic declaration of this room for you today. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Well, I'm going to talk about the tears. I'm going to talk about the seed. I'm going to talk about what's coming after that. Shall doubtless, there is no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that it come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves. There's a harvest of joy that's coming. Following all that travail and all that pain and all that crying. Well, there is pain. Jesus said, you shall have travail and sorrow. Some people may, you know, experience it more than others. Bearing precious seed. What's that precious seed? Well, it's your faith and the word of God together. See, you can't survive in this world without faith in the word of God. You just can't do it. So there will be times when you got to go into that world to pull out something, encourage yourself. Yeah. And it's okay to cry before the Lord. And it's okay to do that, but you must believe the word of God. And you got to pray. Elijah, one time, the Lord told him, go show yourself to Ahab. You know, because after all that season of dryness, the Lord said, I'm going to send rain upon the earth. Well, it was Elijah that shut it up. And he himself, well, after a while, the brook dried up. But the Lord took care of him. But when the Lord told him the rain is coming, he even saw it. And he can hear it. He could hear it in the spirit. He could see it. Hear the sound. Abundance of rain. But yet, he had to pray for that rain. It wasn't as easy as, well, I hear it. I mean, he told Ahab to get up and go and eat and drink. But he himself, oh no, he went up to Mount Carmel, put his face between his knees, and he began to pray, prayed powerful prayers. James chapter 5 even talks about it. He prayed and prayed and prayed. The heavens seemed brass, even though he already saw it was coming. But he had to pray through, you know, and that's what we see here. This man already prophesying that, you know, God's turning the captivity. There'll be singing. There'll be joy. Our mouth will be filled with praise and all these things. But yet, I had to put that prayer there. Turn again, O Lord, our captivity. And so you got to pray for the things that God has promised. There are many things the Lord has promised you in your life and us on this platform. We're going to have to travail and wrestle for those things in prayer. You're going to have to wrestle in prayer. And sometimes as you're going through, you're wrestling, be filled with tears, you know. Some people go through personal things, they can't even come out and say, you know, but, and they're battling in their closet, they're praying, they're pouring out their heart to the Lord and crying before the Lord. And that's good. That's a good thing. Always cry unto the Lord. Don't cry to people. Cry unto the Lord. That's a good thing. And the Lord, he says, you know, I'm going to wipe away those tears. And the Lord knows how to do it too. He has promised that, look, you've got precious seed, which is the word of God. You've got that with you. You mingle that with your prayers, your tears of faith. Well, someday that's going to lead to a harvesting of joy. But before you get there, it's going to be a lot of pain points, you know, which some of you are going through right now. And did you know it looks like every time that God's fixing to do something great, well, some of the bad even gets worse. Let's look at some stories in the Bible. The moment that God told, I mean, the children of Israel, they were going through a lot of stuff already for hundreds of years. 400 years, they've been going through this stuff. When Moses decided to take the law into his hands, he couldn't do it. He ran away. When God met him, Mount Horeb, and sent him back to go and deliver his people, here's what God said. I have seen the affliction of my people and I've heard their cry. Now, that crying must be there. Cry unto the Lord. If you're being afflicted and you're not crying about it to the Lord, well, it will go on longer than it should. Because see the order in which God said it. He said, I have seen the affliction. He saw the affliction. But it wasn't until they began to really cry out to the Lord, you know, that the Lord did, you know, what he was going to do about it. He knew what he was going to do, told it to Abraham even before all of this happened, many, many years before. But it is important for us to note that that's how the Lord said it. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And that's been going on for a long time. And the Lord saw it the whole time. But now I have heard their cry. So you got to cry unto the Lord when you are going through. And you don't need to cry unto any man. Vain is the help of man, but you cry unto the Lord. The Lord will see it. I have seen and heard now a cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, the Lord knows those sorrows. And I am now come down to deliver them out of the hand of their oppressors and to bring them into a land, a good land and a large, and a land that's flowing with milk and honey, the Lord said. The place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and the Jebusites and so forth. Now behold, the cry of the children of God, of the Israel, is coming to my ears, and I've also seen their oppression. You know, come now, therefore, I'm going to send you, you know, to Pharaoh that you may bring them out. And the Lord told him. And of course, after some argument and stuff, Moses went down there. And when he announced this thing from the Lord, and then when he went to Pharaoh, well, guess what? You know, their situation actually got worse. Worse. They were already, you know, in slavery for many years, and they learned to deal with it. They started crying to the Lord, but, you know, they were still believing and hoping or something, but they were dealing with it. But then their situation got worse. The moment that Pharaoh heard that Moses was saying, let my people go, he said, go to do what? He said, well, we got to go to the wilderness. 3 days journey to go sacrifice unto the Lord. It must be then that you have free time on your hands. That's why you are thinking that you are going to go serve the Lord. Let there be more work and more burden put upon the people. That's what Pharaoh said. Their situation got worse. Pharaoh's tactics are still in play to today. The moment you are thinking in your head that, well, I want to draw nigh to God, I want to spend time, I want to have more time, I want to do it, well, all of a sudden, more things happen. And Pharaoh say, they want to serve the Lord, they want to go to church on Sundays, give them jobs that will schedule them on weekends. Let their bosses be mean to them. He told the taskmasters, say, be mean to these people. Take away their supply. Let them go and find for themselves. You know, give them no help at all. Yet, you will not diminish anything from the tail of bricks that they were supposed to bring. And so, Pharaoh started then, still the same today. Let there be more trouble put upon them. But the Lord has seen the travail, you know. Their situation got worse. They hated the children of Israel. Hated Moses, you know, their leaders, you know, the leaders among the people and so forth. They took him to Moses and said, look, our situation was bad enough as it was, but now you've made it worse. Away with you. They hated the man. See, God promised them liberation, but their situation got worse. And that's how it happens sometimes. God may have promised you these things. You will emerge. You will do this. You will do that. But all of a sudden, your situation is getting worse. You know, it's like the woman. You know, she's birthing something, but her pain gets worse. And just around the time that the baby is about to come, the pain is through the roof. But yeah, there's something just around the corner. And they will call it prophetic birth pains. We see the natural, but we see the prophetic as well. What you're going through now is because something is about to be birthed in your life. Usually that's, you know, the day breaks just after the darkest part of the night. You know, it goes on and then it breaks like that. And God is looking and he's hearing. And none of those tears of faith will fall to the ground without his knowledge. But let them be tears of faith. Let them not be tears of desperation despair. Let it not be tears of despair or giving up and so forth. No, don't give up. If you become desperate, well, cry unto the Lord, but never give up and never give in. The Lord said, well, one day it's going to turn to a harvesting of joy. Hallelujah. And when he does, not only you will see it, others will see it as well. So ladies and gentlemen, well, there are many times when the Lord's promised something and the devil will come against it, make sure it doesn't happen. You know, Jesus one time, and you know these stories in the Bible, you know, they're not new. I just want to bring them because I'm going to pray over the room, but I want to share this with you first to give you some encouragement. The moment Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, Mark chapter 4 story, all hell broke loose to make sure they don't get there. You know, the storms came, beat upon that boat. The waves came rushing into the boat and everything to make sure that that word that Jesus said will not come to pass of passing over to the other side. Well, but come storm or rain or anything, that word will sustain itself. Glory to God. Once Jesus dropped that word, that's it. As far as Jesus was concerned, you know, it's done. You can go to sleep now. Because he spake the word already. And the Bible says he spake and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. As soon as he spake, it is done. It's over. Yeah, but the devil will fight it. Don't think the devil is going to give up. The devil never gives up. You know, he will fight tooth and nail till the last. Scratching, doing everything, throwing everything at you. But you got to put up the shield of faith. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 6. Put up the above all, you take the shield of faith by which you can quench everything that the devil throws at you. But he'll throw a lot of stuff and then some too. But the Lord is a shield, a sun and a shield to his people. That's right. The Lord's around you too. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Very present help. But you go through and you are going through. And Jesus himself said, well, in the world, you should have tribulation. And then during that tribulation, you may be crying and there may be painful and so forth. There may be some pain that you have to go through. So sorrow and some travail. There is no triumph without first travail. You know, everything that we do in life, I mean, athletes that compete for mastery, Paul said, they go through a lot. They train, have training camp, they deny themselves or to put their body through a lot of pain. Some of them say, no pain, no gain. And they go through all of that, you know, for a perishable crown. But yeah, one day when they get crowned, the whole world is going to see it. And they're going to be on top. You know, but they put themselves through a lot. And if they quit along the way, then that's it. They never get that crown. They got to put themselves through a lot. And there are many of them. And some stories, I follow these stories because I love sports, especially track and field. I follow the stories of some of them. Some of them that experienced tragedies or things that could be traumatic. You know, that could have, you know, destroyed their athletic career. But they put themselves through it. I mean, they pushed themselves through it. They pushed themselves through it. You know, and no matter what, at the end, God rewards that. And they come out with joy. Now, there was a lady in the 90s. Her story is a known story. It's out there. They even made a movie about it. I knew it when it was happening. Now they've made a movie about it. And it was called Gail Devers. In the 1992 through 1996 eras, she was a track and field athlete for the United States. And she developed what they call, or we call, Graves' disease. You know, well, they call it that too at the time. To the point that her feet were about to be amputated. When you amputate the feet of a runner, what else does she have? You have nothing else. That's what you need to run. She wouldn't have them do it. She believed, powerful story. Went through a lot, you know. And she was removed. She removed herself, you know, for a while to go through treatments and different things. And But she determined in her mind that she's not going to quit. She went through a lot of pain, went through a lot of stuff. She even faced some sanctions because some of the medications that she was using, and they detected traces of, what they thought was contraband in her bloodstream, and all kinds of things happened to her, but she didn't quit. And after she started getting better, she came back and trained hard for just about 18 months for the next Olympics. That's an amazing story. This is not just a movie. It's a true life story. And she ran that 100 meters. Well, she had even some tragedy before. She ran the hurdles, and she was leading and fell, on the last hurdle. I missed the medal, but she didn't give up. And after she came back from all of that stuff, all that pain that she put herself through, she won that race the year that she came back. It's an amazing story. She got the gold. Somebody whose feet were about to be amputated just 2 years before that. Went through all of that. She wouldn't give up. All that pain, all the travail, all the suffering. And finally, she come out one day and she got the crown. Glory to God. Amazing story. And every time I remember that story, I'm inspired. Somebody could go through that. Some of the pain points. And put their body through a lot of things. One of the fastest men on the face of the earth right now. Runs for the United States. His name is Noah Niles. it was a boy, until this day, he struggles with asthma. I don't know how somebody who's asthmatic can run the 100 meters or the 200 meters and be on top of the world. Because, those things are painful races. And he put himself through that. Used the inhaler and all of that, but would never quit. And a difficult childhood growing up, set his eyes on it. And he got to be on top of the world. And the last Olympics, somebody that's already asthmatic developed COVID in the middle of the greatest race of his life. It was just a couple of days before the 200 meters. He got the victory in the 100, and the 200 was even his better one. He developed COVID. And somebody that is asthmatic, those of you who are in medical, if you're asthmatic and you have COVID, you are out. You can't even do it. But he wouldn't quit. And he wouldn't tell anybody. And he went through that pain. He instructed his medical team not to announce it because he didn't want competitors to get an advantage over him. And he went out in the field. And we didn't know it until he collapsed after the race. And carry him out on a stretcher. But he still got the bronze. He would have got the gold. How can somebody, that's dealing with asthma, get COVID 2 days before the greatest race of his life, and still come out and win a medal? Well, because he put himself through all of that. He said, no matter what, I'm not quitting. He put his life at jeopardy. Could have died, but he did not die. They carried him out of that race. He ran the race and then collapsed. And then they, carried him out of there. But I was like, wow. People put themselves through this. What is it? They do earn some money, and they earn, endorsements and different things like that. But these things are all perishable. What about those of us in our walk of faith? Many of us give up too soon. I say these stories for you to see that, look, people who come out on top, especially in this world of athletics, they go through a lot of stuff. I've known basketball players and so forth that have had injuries, all kinds of things. Some of them had one kidney removed, and they come out to play. They still win championships and stuff, on and on and on. But they would not quit. and they would not give up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we who are the household of faith, borrow a leaf from them. You know, sister said yesterday, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, Jesus said, you won't enter in the kingdom. Well, the children of the world, some of them are doing it. Some of them are people of faith too, but you know, consider that they are doing it for perishable things, yet they go through. What about what we are doing? In your faith, you got to go through. You must not let anything. And if you're a child of God, you have the faith in God, you got the Holy Spirit to help you. These things happen to everybody. Doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not. But you've got an advantage, so use it. You know, all these things, you know, some, you know, in the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes say time and chance and all of this. Well, I don't know, but it'll happen to everybody. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But you have an advantage. If we preach the gospel to people that come to Christ, say, well, come to Jesus and everything will be all right. Well, that's a that's a faulty, wrong gospel. I mean, that's a dangerous gospel. Jesus never preached that kind of gospel. He never said, if you come to Christ, everything will be all right. He said, you will have tribulation. You will go through stuff. I mean, he said, you will have pain. But he did say it will be turned to joy eventually. But don't you ever think that, you know, if stuff's going to be easy just because the Lord promised that you're going to emerge, then that means everything's going to be easy. No, you're going to go through a lot of pain. Well, but can you put up with it? You know, can you dig in? Can you double down on your faith? You know, can you go through? You know, that's the thing. You know, Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10 says, go through. Well, can you go through? Or are you going to quit? Ladies and gentlemen, they that sow in tears, bearing precious seed and holding on to their faith, you know, there is a guarantee that they're going to come through. God will never leave you nor forsake you, but you must determine in your heart, I'm not quitting. The devil will have to go down to hell first before I give an inch. You got to determine that in your mind. Glory to God. And God will give you grace. You cry unto the Lord. You don't need to cry to any man. You cry unto the Lord. But you determine, I am going to go through. Some of them say, look, I don't care. You know, if you beat me down, I will not stay down for the count. I'm going to come up again. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. He said, look, can't rejoice over me just because you chip shot me or I'm going through. I'm coming out on the other side. Glory to God. David was a bold. He said, look, I don't care what it looks like right now. I know I'm coming out on the other side. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? He already knew he's coming out on the other side because he said through. God himself said it. Isaiah 43 and 2. When you pass through, through means you are coming out on the other side. You heard me say this many times, and I often say this anytime I'm trying to encourage people. Don't forget it, because sometimes we forget. You will go through, and you will make it. Praise the Lord. And I tell people sometimes, and say, well, what's happening? So I'm going through some things right now. And they say, well, by your own admission, you're already saying you're coming out on the other side by saying I'm going through. That's it. But you must determine, you see. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be yo-yo in your faith. One day you're up, another day you are down, and allow the devil to slap you around. No. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord and in your faith. You know, the Bible gives us all these things. You say, well, it's not that easy. Yeah, I know. But you stay with it. See, you know, you lose only when you quit. You know. If you don't quit, you haven't lost yet. You are still in the battle. That's right. But once you quit, then you already lost. Yeah, so don't quit. And don't give up. You stay right there. Stay in the fight. And the Lord, he will be with you. Our God. I mean, he said, this God is our God. Hallelujah. Forever. Even, you know, say, well, even unto death. whatever, death, rapture, the end, whatever. He will be with us till the end. This God is our God. I mean, how many people have that kind of faith? Say, look, this God is my God. Sometimes you can't even make ends meet. Now, let me tell you another dimension of this lesson today. It is a dimension of faith wherein, when you can't even make ends meet, your faith that is inside of you will take over. That's right. You know, and we've seen stories in the Bible where you believe the Lord. You know, the faith that's stored up will, you know, speak for you. And mercy will also speak for you. Faith and mercy is a wonderful combination. You know, by the grace of God, I've enjoyed both in my life. I enjoy faith and I enjoy the mercy of God. You know, I like to think of myself as someone that believes God, you know, because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. I like to believe that I have faith. But even when faith fails, mercy always kicks in. Praise God. If you can hold on to your faith and trust in the mercy of the Lord, you'll always come out on top. You know, always you will come out on top. There was a woman, you know, she'd been going through a lot of stuff. They were all affected by the famine and stuff in the days of Elijah, you know, all over the place. And her husband had died. She had only one son left. She said, well, you know, well, let's get ready to die. It's our last meal. I'm going to just bake this cake and eat it with my son, wrap my arms around him and hold him tight. And then we'll die. We'll go that way. I'm not going to lose grip of him. Hold him tight. And we'll die after our last meal. That's it. Well, the Lord had other plans. Praise the Lord. Other plans was like, look, nobody is dying today. The Lord had to let the brook dry up for Elijah so that God could save that woman and her son. Huh? And the Lord said, well, that woman will sustain you, but Elijah sustained the woman too. He got there, you know, said, can I get me something to drink, please? And she's going to get, say, hey, while you're getting it, bring me a loaf of bread, something that I can eat, cake in your hand. I've been traveling for days. I haven't eaten anything. Looked at the man, said, well, you know, as the Lord that God liveth. She saw that he was a man of God, looked like. The Lord that God liveth. I don't have anything in the house but this little thing. And I'm gathering a couple of sticks here. I go make a cake. You know, embrace my son. We eat it and we die. Elijah said, nobody is dying today. Yeah, just go do what you said. Make a cake for your son and everything. But bring me something out of it. Nobody's dying. Don't say it, the Lord. He brings it out. Glory to God. You see, God has a way that he will come through for you. He always has one more move. When the enemy's got you backed up like that, thinks that, you know, this is your last day, you're going to die. Devil telling that woman. But the woman, she had trusted the Lord all her life. And even in that weak moment, the Lord came through for her. And the Lord said to her, well, that one thing that you have that you think is not enough is enough. The Lord put a blessing on it, said the barrel of meal will not waste. The cruse of oil will not fail. Now, some of you look at yourself today. Well, you might even have lost your job because of this and that. You might have lost income. You might have lost supply. You might have lost grants. You might have lost this and that. You know. But whatever you have, glory to God, God is able to put a blessing on it and it will sustain you. Never mind whether it's little or whether it's a lot. You know. It is not, I mean, it's a little thing with God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make him a difference. He can save with many. He can save with few. Jonathan said that to his armor bearer. You have a lot? Well, bless the Lord. You have a little? Doesn't matter. He said the people that have a lot, they didn't, you know, the people that have little, they didn't lack. The people that had a lot had not anything left over. God has a way. He'll take care of you. You got to believe it. And the woman lived for many days because of the prophetic word. That came just like that. That was it. Now the prophetic word has power to change your story. Glory to God. that thus said the Lord, when it came like that, changed her story. She lived many days. Elijah lived of it too, and they all did. Many people. Well, then there was the story of Elisha, the woman that came to her and said, well, my husband is dead, but you know, he was a servant of the Lord, feared the Lord, but he's dead now. You know, and the creditors have come to take my sons to pay for the debt. You know, they're going to take them to slavery. Elisha said, what do you have in the house? She said, nothing. So I think again. What do you have? You got something. And she says, oh, yeah, maybe her, one of her sons reminded her, oh, we got this little pot. He said, oh, of oil. Well, what is that? What can that do? You can't even eat oil by itself. I mean, you don't have any flour to bake. Because the oil can't do anything. That's all I got left. Elisha said, it is enough. Glory to God. See, whatever you have is already enough. All you got to do is put in the hands of the master, and that prophetic word can change the story. And Elisha said to her, well, that's what I want you to do. See, but you got to listen to the Lord's instructions. He'll give you strategy. Glory to God. I always pray that God will give people strategy, because that's what changes everything. And Lord gave this woman strategy. He said, well, you know, go lock up yourself in the house. And borrow vessels, not a few. Pour out the oil. Set aside when it's full. Pour again. Set aside. Pour again when it's set aside. So the woman went and did, told her sons, go and borrow vessels. Because they didn't have a lot of vessels in their house. So, well, go borrow from our neighbors. Just tell them we'll bring it back in a few days. And they went to borrow. And she did as the man of God said, bring me a vessel. She poured out. It was an amazing story. As she poured out the oil from the vessel that wasn't even full, she filled one vessel, even bigger than what she was pouring for, from, set it aside. They brought her another. She poured and said, oh my goodness. And she kept pouring and putting it aside. She kept pouring. Bring me another vessel. They kept bringing. Finally, they said, well, we're out of vessels. Then the oil stopped. Glory to God. It's an amazing story. As long as they kept bringing a vessel, the oil kept pouring. That's right. Till this day, the oil would have been pouring if they kept bringing vessels. But when there was no more vessel, then the oil stopped. And she was so amazed, she ran to the man of God and said, my goodness, here's what happened. I said, well, I know it. I said, well, here's what you're going to do. Go set up a small business and sell the oil. And you get enough money to pay your debt and leave off the rest. See? It doesn't matter what little you have that you think is not enough. There was one time a story of Jesus, and this happened a few times in the life of Jesus. Jesus was showing the disciples, you know, they've been out there preaching, people following him around for days. And everybody ran out of food. So, one day, you know, they said, well, you know, it's a long time. These people have been away. Let's send them away so they can go get food. Because the stores will soon close. And before they get there, it might even be closed. Send them away, the disciples said. Jesus said, no. There's no need to send them away. You give them food to eat. So give them food. There are thousands of people here. Where are we going to get food? Jesus said, well, let me see what you have. Nobody had any food among the disciples, so they started to ask around. Anybody got any food left to share? And I tell you what, there was this young boy. He just came that day from his mother, packed him some lunch. Mommy, mommy, Yeshua is still over there. I want to go. The woman said, don't go. She said, I want to go. Okay, I'll give you something. Don't stay too late now. Well, he stayed late. He didn't come. So wrapped up in the teachings of Jesus, he didn't even eat his food. And they're asking around, say, oh, so well, I got, you know, say, here, give it to the master. So they take it to Jesus. They say, well, we found a little boy that has his sack lunch, but, what is that among so many? And Jesus just said, wow, You know, it's kind of like he's thinking in his mind, how long will I be with these people before they understand? You know, that a little one with God shall be a thousand, a small one shall be the great nation. It's nothing to the Lord at all. He said, bring it to me. And I brought it to Jesus. Looks up to heaven and gives thanks. And he gave it to the disciples. And he walks away. But he gives them instruction. Set them up in companies, 50s and this and that, and so on. So you can begin to see you must continue to trust the Lord. Yeah. And he put the bread, he just break it and put it in their hands and walked away. And then the disciples are thinking, how in the world are we going to feed all these people? With? I've got some piece of bread in my hand. The other one's got some pieces of fish. The other one's got, every one of them has some bread and some fish. You know, but he told us, I said, okay, well, everybody sit around in companies and so forth, 50, no more than that. And then everybody's sitting around and so on. Let's see now. How are you going? Well, you go over there. Peter said to Andrew. Andrew said to this one, I'll take this one. And then, you know, and as they went and sat the people down and going around trying to give them, say, well, let's see, you know, give them something. Something amazing started to happen right in the hands of the disciples. As they were dishing this thing out, the thing was multiplying. In fact, it was not diminishing. Dish it out, it did not diminish. It went from 150 company to another. I said, my goodness, what's happening here? Meanwhile, Jesus had already walked away. It was done. You know, he put a blessing on it, put it back right back in their hands, and it was done. And every time I tell this story, I said to people, I said, you know, Christian folklore told us that Jesus fed multitudes. But I say, well, you know, I didn't feed anybody. It was disciples. I fed the people. Jesus just blessed the thing and put it in the hands of the disciples. And he walked away, gave them instructions too. That's it. And it was actually the disciples that fed the multitudes. Just like everybody said, oh, Jesus baptized more than John. I said, well, no. Jesus himself didn't baptize anybody. It was his disciples that were baptizing. It was the disciples that were feeding the people. Jesus only put a blessing and put it in their hands. So what is in your hand that you have? We bring it to Jesus. You put a blessing on it and I put it right back in your hands with instructions of strategy. That's it. That's how it works. And these people, they were partners with Jesus in that creative act. That they got to keep believing though. From one company of 50, you got to keep believing. As you are dishing out the thing, you go to the next one, you got to keep believing. The moment you stop believing, that food's going to run out. And they kept believing. And when they finished, it was like, oh my goodness. With just this little thing I had in my hand, I was able to feed maybe 13 companies of 50s. The other one fed someone and so on. You say, yeah, because the master said so. They ran to Jesus. Jesus already knew it was done. It was moved to another place, was already thanking the Father and praying. I said, well, gather the fragments. Nothing was lost, he told them. So, well, they went, gathered everything. Some people still had their baskets of food left, that they had brought with them, but they were now empty. They used all those things to gather up the food. And they said, well, what shall we do with all of these things now? Somebody says among the crowd, you know, give it to that little boy who gave up his food. He said, oh, yeah. So little boy go, you know, has all these things. How are you going to carry all these things? So I don't know, but he's got more than he gave away because it belongs to him. He gave it up. So beautiful story, isn't it? But the lesson in this story is that Jesus can take the little that you have that you think did not do anything. I can't even pay my rent with it. I can't do any of these things. Well, guess again, you trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. In all your ways, you acknowledge him, Proverbs 3 and 5, and you direct your paths. You bring that thing to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you. It looks like a little, but a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a great nation. Your hands, Lord. Saying your hands, five loaves and two fishes, they can feed thousands. But what are your five loaves and two fishes that you have? Perhaps it's your diminished income. You used to make more money, but because of the economy or whatever, your income is now diminished. Or you even lost your job. Or you don't even have anything. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this God is our God, and we will trust him forever. Is he your God? Can you trust him? Do you believe that he's able to make ends meet for you? I am going to pray over the room today for everyone that's struggling. Remember, these pains and these struggles, they're just before something beautiful. I'll tell you another story before I pray, which you've heard me say also before a few times. The story of the butterfly. How that butterfly goes through stages from the ugly caterpillar. Some of the most repulsive things. You know, I don't like creeping things and stuff like that. You know, they just, it's repulsive to me. But when you see the story of the butterfly goes through all those stages, the lava, the this and the cocoon and so, and when it's about to hatch into that beautiful thing, it's incredible. It's hanging upside down. It's trying to get out of there. It can't. It's going in and out and so forth. I mean, it's like, and the thing is ugly. But when it comes out of that thing, oh my goodness, you've never seen anything so beautiful. Colors, beautiful, floating, effortlessly, just going like that. And you wonder, how did such a beautiful thing come from such an ugly thing? The Lord, he designed it. So he can do that too. But, you know, I've even heard a story, a true story of a man that saw that struggling cocoon and that thing trying to come out of there and try to help it. He killed that thing. Don't worry about it. That process must happen. So you're going through those birth pains and the butterfly is coming out of it. Glory to God. But stay right with the process. You know, trust God through that process. It's not the process that you need to trust. It's God that you need to trust. The God that said, I will be with you while you are going through the fire. I'll be right there with you. I will be with you when you are passing through the floods. I'll be right there with you. Glory to God. You know, they shall not, neither shall the flame kindle upon you, nor the floods overwhelm you, and you not drown. I'm going to bring you through it, and you'll be stronger for it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's believe God together. What is in your hand today? God asked Moses. Say, well, I just got a rod. That's all. I say, well, it is enough. See, whatever is in your hand is enough. The little that you have that you thought is not enough, well, that's because you are trying, you know, to do it in your own strength. Well, why don't you believe God for a change? Praise God. Or you are looking for help of man. Why don't you trust God for a change? You know, this is the thing that the Lord, you know, is bitter about at times. He said, because the people limit the Holy One of Israel. You know, they did not sanctify the word of God in their hearts. They think God can't do it. Well, can God provide food for us in this wilderness? Can this and this and that and that? And then their hearts begin to go back to Egypt. And the Lord was angry about it. You know, but anytime the Lord sees somebody that has some faith, he's happy. Well, what are you going to show the Lord today? You're going to show him some faith? Can you do it? Can you show the Lord some real faith? And let's see what you can show him today. Praise God. The book of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand. And a small one, a strong nation. For I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Glory to God. Now, the little that you have, saying, well, I can multiply a little. It doesn't matter. It's a little. Doctors say, well, you don't have enough blood cell or this and that or what have you. It doesn't matter. You know, praise God. You can be living with a condition. God can keep you. I remember being diagnosed many years ago that I have this low white cell blood count or whatever. And year after year, every time I do my physical, the count is just always little. I say, white blood cell? I say, what does it mean? The doctor said, well, you know, that's actually your defense system against the illnesses. So if you have very little of those, you may catch a lot of things. So be careful now. Well, I never catch anything because of the goodness of the Lord. Never had COVID, never had anything, don't catch anything. Yet, you know, very little blood count. Yeah, because a little one has become a great nation. A small one in his hand become a thousand. It doesn't matter. You know, you can do with small, you can do with great. It doesn't really matter to the Lord. Now, you just trust the Lord. Now, all those things are nothing before him. Praise God. Now, I'm going to pray over the room. That's our lesson and word of faith for you today. Now, the word of faith which we preach is in your mouth. Cover that in chapter 10 of Romans already. Now, it's not go to heaven, bring Jesus down, go to the grave, look for him there. It's not there. It's not run to Jerusalem, run to this prophet over there. No, the word is in your mouth, your own mouth. That's it. Praise God. You don't need to run to anybody. Well, they used to do that in the Old Testament, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. The woman could run to Elisha, this one could run to that, and so forth. But you have the Holy Spirit now. It's right there with you. You don't need to run to anywhere. But that word is in your mouth. Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. And I'm going to use that word today. Now remember, that word carries the power to change situations. I'm going to use that word today to pray for you, because the Holy Spirit said, you got to go and encourage the people. Pray for them. But they're going through. And I said, well, let's do it, Lord. Praise God. So I want you to believe God with me today. Hallelujah. And I want you to zero in on what it is, the areas that you are struggling. Yeah. You may be struggling with your health. It doesn't matter. You may be struggling with your finances. A lot of people at this time. You're struggling with, you know, your means of income. Maybe it's diminished. Maybe you even have nothing. Maybe whatever. Let's believe the Lord right now. Praise God. Now, I'm not taking up an offering, you know, because when you begin to preach like this, people think you're going to take an offering. Well, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. You'll never hear me take up an offering when I preach these kind of things. It's free. Jesus will do it for you freely. Now, what do I need an offering for? When the Father of lights, the God of all creation is my source. Praise God. I don't need anybody give me an offering. I already got it freely from God. So this is not about that. So don't shy away from this. But believe God. I want you to come. And I'm going to pray a prayer over you that's going to change your situation. Well, you say, well, somebody prayed for me last time. Well, yeah, maybe so. But remember, you got to keep believing. The man in John chapter 5, he kept coming. He missed his chance. Somebody got in ahead of him into that pool. The angel stared it, and he missed it. He went home sorrowful and, you know, sad, but he was not discouraged. He came back again. And many times he came, but he missed it. And he told Jesus, many times I come out here, but somebody gets in ahead of me. I don't know. Maybe someday it'll be my turn, but I keep trying. Jesus said, well, that's cool. But today, forget about the angel, forget about the pool. I'm right here. Glory to God. You know, so, but you got, see, that man has stayed home discouraged. He would not have got that miracle. Don't be discouraged just because, you know, well, I prayed about it last week. Pray about it again some more today and believe God and thank God. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Glory to God. But use the word of God when you pray. Don't just pray prayers. Pray the word of God. Then it becomes a prophetic prayer. Now, I'm going to pray for you if you are in the audience and you want God to change your story. I want you to raise your hand. Praise God. If you are on the stage, I don't know how you raise your hand on the stage, but I want you to raise your hands also. One way or the other, find a way to raise your hand. Find a way to identify with this program. Put something in the chat room or whatever. Because I am going to present the people that raise their hand, the people that want this prayer. I was going to do the book of Romans, but the Lord began to speak to me yesterday. He said, no, today, you know, you're going to pray for the room. You're going to pray over the people. You're going to speak a word of encouragement. I said, okay, that's cool. So here we are today, and I'm going to speak the word of life over you. Praise God. Now, quickly, raise your hand, put your name in the chat room, whatever, because I'm going to release this word now for you. Glory to God. Now, here's what we're going to do. When I speak the word of God, you believe God. And you wait for the moment when your faith is just right, and you type amen in that chat room. That's it. You know, we got to follow the strategy, the instruction. You know, I'm going to pray first. And let faith rise in your heart like incense. You know, as you believe God and you believe to latch onto that word, Holy Spirit will show you it's coming. He'll show you things to come. He will show you the desert turning into a fruitful place and so on. He'll show you things coming in your life. And when you see it, you latch onto it. Holy Spirit inspired that faith. You say amen to it. And you stand right there. And God will do it for you. Now let us pray. You got your hands raised. You got your name in the chat room. Glory to God. I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for your children. Many people going through so many things. Even at this time, prophetic birth pains they're going through. And that tells us, Lord, that something is about to be birthed in their lives. And the devil is standing right there to devour the great blessing that's coming in your life, but he can't do it. It's going to come up empty. Now, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the spoken word of God, same power by which the Lord said, let there be, and there was. I speak by faith in his word and say, let there be a change. Glory to God. Let the waters be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear for you. The same God that parted the Red Sea and heaped them up the waters on either side like a wall, caused the ransom to pass through on dry land. Same God part every Red Sea. Your Red Sea moments that you are facing right now, God, able to split the water, cause you to pass through. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, give them understanding, inspiration, and strategy of what to do. The Lord said, I am the Lord. Isaiah 48 and 17. I'll teach your hands to profit. I'll teach you how to profit. The Lord teach you. Also said he'll give you power to get wealth. He'll give you understanding. He'll give you inspiration. Glory to God. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth you how to make profit. Glory to God, which leadeth you in the way that thou shouldest go. The Lord lead you. The Lord teach you. The Lord bless, keep you. The Lord sustain you. The Lord multiply the little that you have. Praise God. And, best way to get that increase is to trust the Lord with it. Why wouldn't you trust me with it? The Lord said finally, and people struggle, 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 and die in their struggles. Jesus said, but I was right there. And I was just one reach away. You could have just reached out to me and I would have helped you. So reach out to the Lord even today in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. I pray for your families. I pray for your children and their children after them. I pray for your situations, whether it's your job, whether it's your finances, whether it's things that you're going through emotionally or otherwise, whatever struggles that you are dealing with in your life. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, health situations for you and your loved ones. I pray, Lord, that you will bring a change for the better in the lives of your people. And having done all, the Bible says, stand. Stand therefore, in the power of the Lord. Everything that the devil throws against you, put up the shield of faith. And thou, O Lord, also will compass your people with favor all around them as with a shield. Glory to God. Between your faith, the favor and mercy of God, you will win. Glory to God. You will come out on top and you will have testimonies. And even people will say, see what great things the Lord has done for them. Now, they that sow in tears, the Lord said, bearing precious seed, going out there, believing the Lord, and hanging in there, not turning aside to doubting and unbelief, they will surely come back again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Your tears of faith will be turned into a harvesting of joy, saith the Lord. And the Lord bless everyone, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. We'll give the Lord the praise and give the Lord the glory. Now, if you believe the Lord, all you got to do is say amen. You know, and we're going to believe the Lord together. And we're going to say amen together. And I see a lot of people type amen in the chat room. Well, that's good. Amen means so be it. As it is spoken, even so be it. And so be it unto you. And be it unto you, Jesus said, according to your faith. Just be it unto you according to your faith. What is it that you are believing God for today? What change? Believe the Lord for it. And so shall it be. To God be the praise. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.